tonight, we're going to look into a hidden relationship. A hidden relationship. Now, what does it mean when something's hidden? Does it mean you lost it?
No.
No, it's still there.
It's out of sight.
It's out of sight. It doesn't mean you've gone. It's hidden. But if it's really well hidden, it sure feels like it's gone sometimes. Especially if you forgot where it is. It may as well be gone, right?
Yeah.
But if it's something you own, and something that's real to you, it's not actually gone. A hidden relationship is what we're going to talk about tonight. It's not a spoiler alert, but a little bit. We're talking about the holy relationship. That's what we're going to arrive at the end of the night. Not any holy relationship. All holy relationships. But perhaps the one that's hidden the most from you is your relationship with your source. Did you make you? Did your parents really make you? The you that you've discovered? If you've read a few pages of this book, it's talking about something beyond your body. Something beyond your body. Did your parents make that? No, I don't think so. I don't think anybody here believes that. There's something in you that's going beyond the body. There's something real. Something, dare we say, true. That doesn't even fit in this world. So that comes from your source. We don't have to define what your source is. That's beyond our curriculum. But we can turn toward it, and we must. And one of the ways we can is by looking at this hidden relationship that you have. It's oh so true. Because it's a relationship with your source. It's a relationship with your source. From where you came. What you're made out of. It's very, very intimate. It's so, so intimate to you. And you probably don't think about it much. You're probably not. That's why we need to bring it up tonight. How intimate this is to you. Because it's from where you came. Really, really the you that matters came. That's your body. You're already over that. Something in you has a source that's beyond the body, and we're here to reach it. This book is here to help you gently with 365 easy-to-follow steps to get beyond this smallness you've been so addicted to and limited by. And you're a little frustrated with it, and you say, you know what? I don't want to be so unhappy. And I look around myself, and my best examples of people are still limited, and I don't want to be even that limited. Even though they've got all this money, time, space, love, family, who knows whatever, what, sobriety, who knows whatever else you dream is better than what you got. This book says you can't have peace now. This book says you've been involved in special relationships all your life that are contractual, that have checklists, and as long as those checks are met, you're in love, and when a few checks fall out, you're not in love. That's what this world says. One happy, the other one not happy. This book says throw the checklist away because there is something in you, a hidden relationship in you, called the holy relationship in this book. Throughout, tonight we're talking about the relationship with your source. That goes beyond what this world could offer. Beyond what your children in your relationship with them can offer. they're so small compared to the big picture we're talking about. This hidden relationship with your source. Now, that's enough right there, really. Mm-hmm. But there's more. To help us focus on what we're going to do in the next 5 minutes, think about a Toyota car. Alright, there's one there on the street. And a Toyota, it's got the word Toyota on the hood. It has made in Japan somewhere on there, if it was made in Japan. It has a source. The car does. It's sitting out there in the street, individual and separate from its source, isn't it? On Agnes Street? You think Toyota designed the car to be on Agnes? I don't think so. But here it is. And here you are. You're on Agnes Street in the barn studio. Your source designed you to be here. Yet the Toyota's got Toyota right on the hood. We can actually trace back, with the help of the computer, right to Toyota Incorporated. Right? Somebody at Toyota, somewhere, there is a filing cabinet, digital these days, but it has a serial number of that car. That very unit sitting on Agnes Street got a serial number, a VIN, and there is a filing cabinet with that VIN number at the plant under the control of that corporation. Because the Toyota, wherever it happens to be, is an extension of Toyota. Even though it's sitting on Agnes Street, blind to the source. Now, as you sit here on Agnes Street, would you have something like a serial number that could be traced all the way back to your source? Well, in Toyota, it does. And if you go back there to the filing cabinet and you pick up that number, there's so much information held about that car. Even the lug nuts, the little that hold the wheel on, those were a batch, right? Weren't they all made in a batch and delivered to the factory at one point? There's a manifest, there's a truck from some vendor. There's probably 20 vendors of lug nuts, and one of them, on the day that car was built, delivered the lug nuts to the car sitting here on this street tonight. And that paper trail is at the factory in Japan because of the number. Tie it all together. So loved is that car by its source. Of course, Toyota says. Why wouldn't we know? We know everything about it. We built it. We know everything about that car. The lug nuts, the paint, the radio antenna, everything. Give me some time and I'll tell you where the thread came from that stitched the seats in. Not a doubt, right? You with me? Not a doubt. You are on Agnes Street in the barn studio. You have a source that knows everything about you. Of course, they eat you. So I want you to just touch that. I just want you to open a place in your mind like that. Your source, okay? Let's do that for a few minutes. Take a deep breath. We're going beyond your body tonight. We call the body in service now to help you train your thoughts with your brain to be open to what only your mind can know. Your brain doesn't know anything about this, but your mind can actually touch and become a bridge for you to go from this body addiction, this habitual existence that has a name, back to, just for a moment now, back to your source. Just allow yourself to entertain the idea that you, what you really are, not what you see in the mirror, okay? What you really are, the spirit of you, has a source. And were we to go all the way back to the filing cabinet and open the drawer to the file that has the papers that include everything about you, the source would say, of course we have that. We know everything about Jay, about Luann, about the one they call Bridget. We know more than she does. Of course. Of course. There's no mistake. Everything is known. So loved are you. Could it be loved more than by your source, which knows more about you than you do? Open a space in your mind for that, please. And now, if you can touch the idea, as that car is an extension of Toyota, you are an extension of your source. Pick something that for you to go back to the factory and say, hey, source, what do you think about me? Describe something about the relationship that your true source has with you. Just pick an aspect for you to go into the audience of your source. I don't want to remind you what you're about to hear from these people and yourself. It might change next week for me to do the same meditation over. I'd like to remind you what you're about to hear. These are prayers. Each person who decides to speak, and you can say pass, of course, but what you're about to say is a prayer from you. Listen to what you hear. Jay, if you were to come in front of your source, what's something that would describe your relationship? But it would say, oh, here's what's going on.
Can you say that one more time?
If you were to come in front of your source, how would you describe, what do you think that relationship would say about you? What relationship would you have with the source? Is there anything you could describe, how you could describe the relationship of the source to you?
That we're sharing the same experience because I'm a little piece of my Creator.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm having an experience, I'm not having it by myself.
The source says, I'm here with you.
Yeah.
And I've been here with you, even when you didn't know I was there. I'm with you now as you're asking the question. And when you leave here and go back to you, I'll be there then too, because you are from me, says the source. Beautiful. And it has to be true, because cause and effect are not separated. That Toyota is not separate from the factory, even though the factory is in Japan. Everything about that car came from the factory. It represents Toyota.
And when they made that car, they didn't decide to micromanage the car's future. They made it and said, go out and do whatever you're going to do, including maybe end up sitting on Agnes Street somewhere. We don't care, you know.
Right. Right, part of the freedom.
Yeah.
Given that car.
Yeah.
We'll make it as best we can go.
Yeah.
Drive.
Yeah.
Drive like your life depended on it. And there he is. He's driving like his life depended on it. No doubt. Zoe, what's something that your source might comment about your relationship with you?
I got stuck on one track. I do know that in the Bible it says that he knows the number of hairs on my head.
Yes. There's no mistake.
Yeah. And
your source might say, did you know? I know the number of hairs on your head.
You do?
Of course I do, Zoe. I put each follicle there. Do you want to see the design on follicles?
No.
Right?
It cares more than you do.
Right. Of course it does. He says, but it's so great, it says. The hairs right. on your head. It's so great how it turned out. Let me see, turn around, let me see. No, I'm fine. Beautiful. There would be a connection, wouldn't there? On just that long sentence. I know the number of hairs on your head. You would not be surprised if that's what it said. Hey, Zoe!
Guess what?
Guess what? Mario, what's something that your source would say?
Well, you know, right now I'm at a recall.
No,
I'm serious. No, I got a recall notice because the thing is that, you know, it's really, there's no coincidence that we're bringing up this subject today because the thing is, that's why I'm here because the thing is, I'm recultivating my mind in a sense of, wait a minute, because of neglecting this body in a sense of not knowing the diagram, the nature of what you're supposed to be doing in a sense of beating it, being in the nature of, you know, just whatever. But anyway.
Recall notices happen when you're not functioning as designed.
Exactly. And that's where I'm at. But what I'm saying, I'm on the recall part of it. And when you brought that subject up about it, a car, I go, wait a minute.
Yes.
That's where I'm at with
Yes,
it.
You heard, you read the notice.
Yeah.
Somehow, you heard the notice and said, yeah, I got to go in.
Yeah.
And have this change.
And so I'm going deeper inside of changing.
Yes.
Because the thing is, I got to this point where, you know, last year, in 2018, I turned 60. In 2019, I turned 59. And this year, I'm going to be 58. Uh-huh. So I'm going to rewind the miles back. In my car. Well, you know what I'm saying.
You can, yes.
Yeah, this is what I want to do. But the thing is, it's from our bones, our joints, our ligaments, our thinking. And yeah, I just want to get into the cultivating of our minds and setting the source of the trueness of our direction and how we think and what road we're going through. Yes. And, you know, see if I got the right tires on.
The factory has
what I'm saying.
The factory has the ability to call the recall out when there's something specifically for your model.
Yeah.
That can make it better. Right?
Well, you know,
and you're hearing it.
Yeah. I just wanted to share that because it just kind of tied in
I
with.
I love it.
Wait a minute. Okay.
I love it.
No, I love it too.
Because the factory says we care so much about you and your ability to function as designed. That we've got a change that's going to be better than what we sent you out with.
Okay.
And you're holding it in your lap.
Yeah.
There it is. You follow that installation procedure for this new awareness. Oh, it's going to be so much more beautiful. It's as we hoped for in the beginning. I love that.
You know, it's really interesting that you brought that up because... Because now when
that's
I get pulled over...
Yeah.
That's my new license.
Okay, this is a card that says pirate license. License to steal. Expires at gallows. Eye patch. Hair snarly. Restriction. Spaniard. Sex. Yes. Height. On one leg. Weight. 2 beer kegs.
I got a free pass when I pulled that out and gave it to a police officer. Thank God he was a Marine. We went to the same school. Because the thing is, you know, when Marines got designed, they were designed to go seek pirates.
Yeah.
And I earned this one. Right. He let me go.
All right.
Talk about free pass. Okay. Thank you. I'm just sharing that because it was just like, you only get a few free passes. But he laughed and we giggled. And the thing is, he was a Marine also.
That's sweet.
No, it was beyond sweet. It was like it was meant to be.
Yep.
And so the thing is, I'm going to take it as a fix-it ticket.
Fix it.
Yo.
Consult your owner's manual.
Well, you know, I'm just having fun with it, but sure. You know, why not?
I think thank you for the recall notice. It's significant for me, and I'm bubbling with that whole idea. Thank you.
Oh, no.
What's something your source would say about his relationship with you?
That I didn't quite know how to answer that question. Mm-hmm. But what came back to me was just like one of the most powerful spiritual metaphysical experiences I had. And the insight there is, because I asked a question like, how can it matter? You know, zooming out and just seeing how big everything was, that it said it matters because it is.
Because so it is.
For me, just being, I am, and source is. And I love the line, God, they say God is, and then we cease to speak, or something like that.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
So, just reconnecting with that.
It matters because it is. Mm-hmm. It is. Mm-hmm. What more do you need to know? What more could you know? There's a lot of things you could say, a lot of things you could talk about, pictures you could paint. But is there more that you could know? And it is. And it happens to be right now. How much of it is now, Julie? How much? How much?
We can't even answer that because it's beyond the mind's comprehension. All.
All. It isn't half, it's three quarters, it's all. That's a really great conversation to have with your source. Beautiful. Mark, what's something the source would say about you?
It's a come closer. I have something to tell you.
I love it. Yeah. Come closer. I'm so glad to see you. You are the reason I exist. Come closer. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Kenny, what's something your source would say about you?
Well, I have a neighbor, he's 92, so I was at our house at 5 today, so I saw a guy sweeping the garage, so it was the son of the father, and the father passed away last week, so I got to hug the son of the father. So I was directed saying hello and goodbye.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You were used.
So I was sent.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Your arms.
Yeah.
Your hands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Were donated and used and served.
I didn't hesitate.
And you didn't hesitate. Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. Beautiful. So it was hidden. And then what to do?
Yes. Mm-mm. Hidden, waiting, activated. Mm. Beautiful. Mm. What happens to a light bulb when the electricity runs through it? Mm. The filament of a light bulb.
Yeah.
When the electricity turns on and it goes through it, what happens to that filament?
Heats up.
It heats up.
Yeah.
It heats up. You feel it. It gives off light. It just pours it out. Like that. beautiful moment, Kenny. Thank you. There's a lesson way up in, it's like 300, oh, I don't have a number, 315, 340, somewhere in there. It says, you try to remember this night when you get there if you haven't seen that lesson yet. And it'll say, I give you my hands, my feet, my eyes, I give to you. Yeah, it's a beautiful lesson. Bridget, what's something your source would say about you were you to show up at the factory?
That I'm right on schedule. Can't get it wrong. Even though this is remedial, just gonna work with you.
Nice.
Can't get it wrong.
So the source would say, Bridget, right on time. We were expecting you. You were? Yes.
Yeah, everything's happening just the way it's supposed to.
Perfect. No surprise. Right on schedule.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Good job. Yeah. And the remedial's needed. It's going to work out great. That's why we have remedial. Yeah.
Fell asleep on part of that part.
For people like you. You got a place for people like you. It's perfect. No problem. You thought it was a problem? Forget about it. We totally got you handled. Nice, that's loving. Yeah. Probably because you got a recall notice. You better come in!
It was the airbags.
Before you get in the crash.
You want those airbags.
Sooner the better.
You could die.
Yeah. Deborah, were you to show up at the factory, what would they say about you?
We have an infinite amount of wisdom and compassion just waiting for you.
Oh, yeah. We're just getting started. Yeah. How big does the heart go? How big? Infinite. Yeah. Good news. Mm-hmm. It's good news. Like that. Cecily, what would your source say about you?
My source would tell me that they love me unconditionally and have no expectations. I can do whatever I want, doesn't matter, it's all good, and they'll always see me as 100% perfect no matter what I do. So go have fun, because none of it really matters whether you get it wrong, get it right, you always get it right. And you always are 100% loved, and it doesn't matter what you do.
You were designed to do whatever you can do. You can't do it wrong. You're just doing. Fully supported. There isn't a thing you could come up with that would be wrong. That would be right. Even if it means driving up to Agnes Street. Beautiful. Oh, such acceptance. Such support. Wow. More than you thought. Yes. Beautiful. Lillian, what would your source say?
When I open myself up to the source, just beginning of
what you started, what you said, is that I want you to review the important parts of your life. And so that's what I did. And the first thing that occurred to me was that in a past life, with 1 year before this life, and I chose this life at this time because I had to have a mother that I had. But the most important thing was I lost myself during my marriage completely. And found my therapist 32 years ago, and I've been with him 2 times a week up until 2 years ago. I still, he knows me so well that he can, if I text him a question, he can tell me what to do. And he knows I know how to do it. I used to go in and he'd say, what do you want to talk about? And I said, I don't know. And he introduced what he calls the creative source to me as a source of information about who I am and how I believe and where I need to go and what would be the best way for me to think, et cetera, et cetera. And so in this review, what I came up with is I've been guided my whole life. Everything that I've done has been guided by Source. I may not have known it all this time, but I've been guided. And when I realized that, just, you know, I got a huge sense of safety.
Beautiful.
It was like, all I have to do is continue listening to the Source, and I'll be safe.
Beautiful.
Then it went along, and what came to me next was, if I go back all the way to my source, my source is love. And I remember that that's all I've been wanting to be and all I've been wanting to do my whole. And I got such a wave of love just realizing that. I thought, and I'm being given that now. Yeah. And knowing that that's what I am.
Beautiful.
So.
Nice.
Yes.
That's nice.
That's beautiful. Something really interesting happened today that with that love. I react. Can I just share real quick?
Sure.
Okay. I was taking a break and I went to warm up my coffee down in the break room. And there was this gentleman. He was sitting like this and he was crying. But the manager was standing by the door. And I'm like, who's this guy here? You know, I don't know if he was homeless or whatever. But anyway. And then all of a sudden, the sheriff shows up, and he's telling us, this is the guy that we're stealing? And I gave this guy some tissue, and I go, and so they were talking, he stole some olives. And I go, you know what? Not over olives. He said he was hungry. So let me pay for it, please. Because, you know, it's not like he was holding up the store with a gun or whatever, or stealing wine or beer. He was hungry. And what I'm saying, you know, the thing was, he was hungry in a sense of whatever. I don't know. It was really weird, but I'm glad I did it because I felt his emotion. It was so went so deep that I was a part of it.
You're part of it.
And anyway, even the police officer goes, wow, you're paying for that? I go, yeah. I'm paying for it because the thing is, he gave me something that was priceless. Because what I gave him was priceless in the sense of, you know, like, he thanked me.
Yes.
And it was just so beautiful that.
Yeah, the same thing I was telling Kenny, lesson 3-something-or-other, you know, I give you my hands, my feet, my voice today. And so you've got constant support all your life to be able to give your love and to receive love. And to give love.
And to be guided to this hop, to this room, to this...
Just when you can. To be guided here when you can.
Yeah. And there's no price. There's no money amount on it. It wasn't about the money. It was about, just wait a minute, not over a cup of olives.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And what you did there by showing up, this loving act, the way you would have it be, was this guy does not get locked up for stealing olives.
Yeah. And, you know, he was hungry.
But it's not about him. He showed up for you so that you could be involved in that. And that kid was ready for a hug from Dad. Please. Thank you. I'll give you my arms for that. I'll give you $6 for the olives. I'll show up now. Nothing's a mistake. Nothing's a mistake.
Absolutely.
And there's so much support. So now you can trust whatever happens. You've got this little Maytag repairman from the factory that's been following you your whole life. There you go. We'll get to, here you go. Let's go. Let's make it work this way. We'll make it work that way. Got you covered.
Well, basically, also, what it does, I already know this, and I've already known it, but I haven't remembered it all the time.
Yes.
Is I don't have to think about solving anything. All I have to do is ask the source.
That's right. I don't have to worry about what to say or what to do.
And my therapist told me how to get to the source, and this book is telling me how to get to the source.
Yes.
And
he who sent me will direct me. Mm-hmm. Who sent me? Well, my source sent me. And that's where I should be asking what to do.
All the time.
It's right there. Standing in shining silence.
And all
behind every opportunity
to know I'm loved and protected is go to the source.
All you have to do. Conrad, what's something that your source would say about you?
Maybe remind me that I'm unique, but I'm one of many.
Nice.
Oh, that's nice. Beautiful.
You are so loved. Just as you are. And you're one of many that are so loved and supported. You know exactly what to do with you and how to work with you. You're not a challenge. You're not going to break the system. In fact, we're ready for you. Beautiful. That's beautiful.
How are you?
For me, the source would say, I want to see through you. Mm. We're back here in the factory, and I made you so that I could see. So open your eyes, I'll be looking through them. That's what you're doing out there.
You know, I have said to my clients,
drive! Drive!
Put a light defense on it!
I have said to myself and my clients and other people over and over again, that God created us so it could know itself.
Yes. Yes. God doesn't know anything. Do you know that? God doesn't know anything. Did that occur to you yet? I mean, right? Somebody has to know everything. God doesn't know anything. If there's going to be any knowing happen, you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. That's what you're for. You are the mind of God. If there's any knowing happening, you're going to be doing it. Mm-hmm. God is the source. There's a little koan that goes along with that that I say so many times. Hope you don't get bored of it. I just think it's so potent, and it is. You know, a knife, as sharp as it may be, can never cut itself. Because it's the knife. It's the sharp knife. So it can't cut itself. If there's any cutting going on, you're going to be doing it. Oh, yeah.
Good.
So,
just brought the headlights to the journey.
What?
The headlight, you know, with the light of our journey, in the sense of, you know.
Yes, right. Thank you.
I don't know. It's just
no. That's why I say all of what you, everything, everybody just spoken. These are prayers.
That yeah.
You personally, only you can pray them because only he's only one. You're unique. And you will be following whatever it is that you can afford to follow, whatever is available, as the next step presents itself, you will step on it. And it's because of what you are, there's only one of you.
So is that considered the light of the world?
Yes, the light of the world is this. Okay. This that's, certainty.
So that's the headlight we want, right?
Yes, light. That's the one you want.
Okay.
Yes. Good, Mario.
No, I'm just, you know, it's just that I love this vehicle that I'm in, and it's just, you know, I'm just redoing everything in the sense of nutrition and
good,
and you know, just re-oiling my joints.
Good.
And you know,
the section we're in is called the Temple of the Holy Spirit. Before Course in Miracles, you're working on the Temple of the Ego. The body. You're trying to make it happy, comfortable, proud, look good, get the right tattoo in the right place. Whatever it is, you're investing in the body. After Course in Miracles, your priorities change. And you start to think, I've been building a temple to the ego and trying to keep it happy and satisfied with all these different variables. There's something more important, something that survives, that really is you.
Yeah.
That really is you. This is now you build a temple to the Holy Spirit with your mind.
Yeah.
It is so much more important than anything you did for your body. Now the body can serve that, and the body's more meaningful. The body's more meaningful now than when you were trying to make it better. Now that you've reached, you're starting to seek a purpose beyond the body. It's good news. There's so much more. Oh my God, it's infinite. That's good. Okay, turn to page 438 in the text. 438. Chapter 20, front of the book. 3/4 of an inch in.
Did we do paragraph 8 already?
We did. We're on 438 now. We're going to do paragraph 10. And we're going to look at this holy relationship. You're all well aware of the unholy relationship, the conditional relationship that can divide. It's a union where union is not included because it's conditioned. It could actually be the reason why you don't stay together. And yet you call it a relationship. But it becomes, as it develops, possibly the reason you don't join. Because of this or that, or how you feel about what they did. Unholy relationship.
Is that the same as special?
Yes.
Relationship?
Special relationships end. Holy relationships do not.
And how can they when we're all of one mind?
That's right. When we're not all of one mind, they all end. When we're competing for anything in the world, resources are scarce, we're talking bodily level, then eventually you keep dividing it up and your piece gets smaller and smaller. In the world now, the level of the world, that the laws of the world where you find yourself identifying with a body, your share is getting smaller. Did you know you have about 1.6 billion heartbeats if you live a long life? That's your
max. That's a whole bunch.
That's a whole bunch if you live a long...
But it's a finite number.
It's a finite
number.
It's going to
be over at some point.
Nobody beats 2 billion. Nobody.
But death does not end a holy relationship either.
But that's because we're counting something finite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nobody lives past 122 years or so.
No matter what the Bible says.
Those people are all gone anyway. Nobody today lives 122 years. It just doesn't work. The scientists said, why not? And they went in there and they said, because every time your cells divide, it gets, the DNA gets a little shorter, and then eventually it can't divide anymore. What? Yeah, these telomeres get lopped off every time it does a copy of this. You can't possibly live more than so many years. So forget about it. Wow. Unless you're going to add telomeres and then be able to repair all the damage that comes along the way. We can't do this life extension thing.
You know, it's really interesting that I bought a Jeep compass. Uh-huh. And that compass is going to be my direction to how I'm going to be driving this. And I don't know, it's really
interesting. The point is that if you're dividing something finite, it gets smaller and your share gets smaller and then you die.
Ask any drug dealer. Eventually, there's just nothing but dust, and then there's nothing. And you're out of business.
Try mixing it with some flour, and it doesn't sell as well.
You can only cut it so much.
All falls apart. Yes, but so that's why most of us here are looking for something more infinite, more eternal. Mm. That word is heavy in this book, and it's so sweet when it says eternal. It says certain. It says infinite. It says beyond the body. Because if I were to ever try to describe true love, it would not be the ones that I found here in this world. I still have a place in my romantic heart that says true love is. And every time I think of it, I feel it like that light bulb getting electricity. And I look like Kenny did a minute ago when he told us that he hugged this boy. His father had passed.
One of the things that happened when we were in the meditation was, what came to me was, it felt so good. People come to me as a therapist because they want to find somebody who understands them. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Because understanding means you accept them, you love them the way they are. Uh-huh. What came to me was it felt so good to know that Source understands me.
Beautiful, yes.
And that it's letting me know what it understands about me periodically whenever I come to it.
Yes.
This is what I love about just stepping into this class, because the Source talks to me.
Yeah.
Through the love of just being here with this class here, mm-hmm. in a sense of like, wow, I love it. And it's just, that's what I love about how it speaks to us.
Yes.
And it teaches.
In the words that you need. Yeah. It's amazing how we can do that, and the book does that.
Yeah.
I like what Conrad says, you're unique. You know what? It's not a surprise to you that you're unique, is it? No, I really feel unique. But there are many like you. We understand totally. Like that Toyota out there in Agnes, only one with that serial number. But there's many like you. We totally know how to handle you. We understand you completely. That's such a nice hug of certainty. That you're not drifting out there in a unique problem. We know how to handle that. Good luck. You're on your own because didn't design you to do that. No, Cecily says, no, it's not a mistake. We know exactly what you're... It's fine. Go do more. Drive. Try more crazy things. There's no mistake. You can't do it wrong. Everything you do is fulfillment. Because you did it. It's a great place to be. Yes, yes. So that's a holy relationship, isn't it? That says, I'm not going to judge you for what you think is wrong. Actually, you did what's right, from my perspective.
I love that you use the word fulfillment, because I've been calling what I feel about this book as an addiction, but I think it's more like I feel fulfilled every time I go to it.
Beautiful. I like that contrast. I like that comparison. I like that continuum. Yeah. Good.
You know, every time I walk into this classroom, I open a page up. And the very first page I open up and I just point at it and I read it. Mm-hmm. Lesson 233, I give my life to God to guide today. Mm-hmm. And then it talked to me, Father, I gave you all my thoughts today. I would have none of mine in place of them. Give me your own. I don't know. It's just really...
That's pretty good.
No, it's just so awesome because it's just... I'm in the right place of seeking everything that I need in my new...
Yes.
You know, it's just that...
The upgrades are waiting for you to install. Back at the factory. That's why you take the recall notice, because it's time. And there's the whole freaking upgrade right in your lap. Oh. Love that. Recall notice. Oh my god. Okay, page 438, paragraph 10. You ready, Brother Jay?
The holy relationship reflects the true relationship the Son of God has with His Father in reality. The Holy Spirit rests within it in the certainty it will endure forever. Its firm foundation is eternally upheld by truth, and love shines on it with the gentle smile and tender blessing it offers to its own. Here the unholy instant is exchanged in gladness for the holy one of safe return. Here is the way to true relationships held gently open, through which you and your brother walk together, leaving the body thankfully behind and resting in the everlasting arms. Love's arms are open to receive you and give you peace forever.
Forever.
Right on. That was beautiful.
Forever. Understanding forever. Was with you before, am with you now, and will be with you forever. What great news. Great news. Okay, the holy relationship reflects the true relationship of the capital S Son of God has with His Father in reality. That's you in your awakened state. The Christ is the Son of God. God is simply what is. Mm-hmm. That's the end of that statement.
So who's the Son of God and who's the Father in this sentence?
Good. Son of God is you in your surrendered, awakened state, where you would shed the busyness of your life and go back in your mind to your source, saying, Father, I am your son again for a few minutes. What do you got? It's one of the lessons. You know, I'm coming back to the factory. And the Father is the source. Now, what is the source? What opinion would the source actually have? What design would the source have for you? Is too far beyond what your separated mind could possibly discuss in a separated state with separated language. No. It would be an absolute circus. Okay. It's like going back 200 years and having a conversation with somebody before the United States, even way back, and you would say, you know, I saw something about the pilgrims on TV. They say, really, what's TV? Well, where do you start? I Googled you pilgrims. And I learned also, what's a Google? What's that?
Probably
will
even say, what's a pilgrim?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, what's a pilgrim?
I know what a pilgrim is. Because people always ask me, hey, Mario, how was your Thanksgiving? Were you talking about those pillagers that came from Europe and brought the vulture and mingled with the chicken and created the Butterball story?
Right.
But what I'm just saying is just that, okay, when just get back to the Son of God, but she's a daughter of God.
No, if you go back into gender, Mario, You go back into the hands of the ego.
Okay.
Because then you got two, right? How many genders?
Okay.
Well, it starts with two, but if you hang around Santa Cruz, you start to find out. LGBTI and X now.
Okay.
Oh, but the ego is dividing you up more and more. With tears in your eyes, you say, no, I'm an XI. You are? What's it, Pilgrim? Yeah.
Well, what do you say to people who come in and say, well, what is this son stuff? How come it doesn't say daughter?
You bet. You know, it's amazing. We don't say that every night when a new person comes in. But we don't. I think people who are serious about A Course in Miracles, they've gone beyond that.
Yeah.
And I remember Wendy. Some people remember Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Wendy was just having a conversation along with herself on that. And she called herself the Son of God and went on and on and on. She used to say that in the early beginning. But just academically, because she really wanted the knowledge in the book so much, she knew that the gender discussion was a waste of time. Mm. I don't have time to talk about gender, because I know that's not what this is. On body, if you're not a body, you're not a woman or a man. Give me a break. What is it trying to say? With I'm not a body, I'm free. I'm as God created me. I don't have time for gender. But usually, when I did, I had a few times that come up, and I would have Wendy explain it. She was just so...
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense, and we're all one.
She's so absolute. It's all one. It's what oneness. What about oneness did you miss?
If you started questioning all the terms in this book, you'd just get lost in an instant.
They're all worth teaching. Just like I would use the gender to teach about oneness. I would say, how many genders are there? They'd say two. How many minds? What's the reality? How many minds are there? Well, there's one. And if there's no separation and there's all one, then how many is that? How many genders? What's the problem here? All right, Cecily.
I actually think, stop me if I'm getting too far afield, but that the gender neutral movement is very spiritual to me. And actually my 11-year-old recently told me that she is gender neutral, and it was really interesting to me because I asked her, I said, do you feel like a girl? Or I said, do you feel like a boy? And she said, no. I said, do you feel like a girl? And she said, no. And I said, do you feel like you're just Edie? And she said, yeah.
Nice.
I said, oh, it's fine with me.
All right.
You know?
Yes.
And I think
understanding came.
Well, it's just it's not...
You met her in the middle.
But it's just the identity it's not to be boxed.
Beautiful.
It's
not to be boxed.
We are as spirit individuals. Isn't gender identified?
It's not a gender. Gender is an individual.
Or their job, or any of these things we use to define ourselves. Some more long-lasting, such as gender, than others. But I think even before my kid was involved in any of this, it felt very spiritual to me. No gender, because it's we're just spirit.
Yes. Really.
We're not a body.
Yes.
We're not our parts.
Yeah.
Male or female anatomy is not who we are.
Beautiful. Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Yes. Look at Miracle Principle 12 real quick. Cecily reminded me of that, and something we should probably look at almost every meeting, and we don't. Way up front on page 3 at the bottom of the page. Zoe, are you there?
Oh, yeah.
Would you read number 12 for us?
And I was there just like that.
Sorry I made you wait.
Miracles are thoughts. Thoughts can represent the lower or bodily level of experience, or the higher or spiritual level of experience. One makes the physical and the other creates the spiritual.
Yes.
right on.
Gender is making more physical differences. Dividing it up.
And would you also say that if you were going to be closer to the truth, we are the creation of God?
Yeah.
Versus, and I was thinking we could say we're the child of God, that's gender neutral in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But the creation of God seems to me to describe how I think about it than either anything that refers to the body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure. I don't hear gender in creation.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Oh. Good. Okay, back to page 438. The holy relationship reflects the true relationship of the Son of God. Disconvenience. Son meaning the child. Son of God. Has with his Father in reality. It's a holy relationship. Not a special relationship. What's more is the another character, right? Holy Spirit. Not really a character. I mean, the more you read this book, the more you understand. These are all these terms: Son, Christ, Holy Spirit, God. These aren't characters, are they? These aren't individuals, are they? If you're just starting out with the book, this is not going to be very helpful to you, what I'm saying now. But if you've been reading it for a while, and this oneness has touched you, the Spirit, the idea that I am Spirit, lesson 97, hits you deep. And what I'm saying is great news. You are an extension of Spirit. Of what is. There's no characters. There's no place where God ends and you begin. Oh. There's no place where Toyota ends and this car begins, is there? Because everything about that car is defined by Toyota. In fact, were that car to somehow out of existence, a piece of Toyota would be gone.
Plus, they wouldn't have my money.
And that couldn't actually happen in this world. Because Toyota has extended itself through its money into everything of that car. Even if the car gets destroyed and burned and put in landfill somewhere, there's still paperwork that describes everything that happened. That where that car came from, every ounce of it is described and understood. And there's a paper trail through the police report and then the wrecking yard report of exactly what happened to that car. It doesn't pop out of existence. It's an extension of Toyota. You are an extension of God. If you took one grain of sand off Santa Cruz Beach away and you put it somewhere in Germany, I'm telling you, Santa Cruz Beach is no longer complete. Is that fair? There's plenty of beach there. Who's going to miss it? But the fact is, every hair on your head is known. Of course, of course. That Santa's from Santa Cruz.
Of course, I wish he would have given me more.
Did you read the recall notice?
Start taking male hormones and you'll get more.
There you go.
Here's an idea. We'll talk afterwards.
All right, you're a business proposition. Sentence two. The Holy Spirit rests within it. What is it in
true relationship of
yes
the Son of God
yes.
with his Father? Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That's where the Holy Spirit abides, in this holy relationship. The Holy Spirit rests within it in the certainty it will endure forever. The relationship you would have with the factory when you get there and find out that they understand everything about you and have been supporting you the whole time. shows you a relationship that's unconditional. It's undeniable. It says Toyota on the hood, so I thought this is where I should come. And then you show up, and it says, we knew you were coming. Bridget, you got Toyota on the hood because we put it there. You got the serial number. I know how many hairs are on your head. That's how much, how close this relationship is and how you can be sure it will endure. Because I know more about you than you do.
Well, this paragraph is a tune-up.
Yeah. It's a tune-up.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yes.
I love it. Thank you.
Yeah, that's fun. What is the Holy Spirit? Anybody? Anybody want to teach us what the Holy Spirit is?
The middleman.
I like it. There's at least 50 answers if you've been reading the book or if you love the material. The middleman is as good as any of them.
I think it's the mind.
You think the Holy Spirit is the mind?
Well, I think it is connected to it somehow.
Uh-huh, yes,
because
somehow.
I think it gets this information from...
No mind, no Holy Spirit? Is that fair?
So, Holy Spirit is a bridge between your pre-awoken self and your... your eternal self or your, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bridge, you bet. Yeah. Yes. What else is Holy Spirit?
Someone's voice for God?
A voice not of God. That's woo-woo.
Not.
It's a voice for like you said.
Mm-hmm.
A voice for God, she for said. God.
It's actually the cell phone to God.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, what I'm saying is just that what I'm finding out is that what I found was the trueness of the God was the spirit of the truth.
Yes. Yes, the spirit of the truth speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah. The middleman. The bridge.
Yeah.
The voice for God.
The reason I said the mind is because somewhere in here... And I don't remember anything about where things are, so somewhere in here it said, go inside and you'll find your mind. You'll find the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I go inside and that's what I find is the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh. So what is the Holy Spirit? What else? Don't answer.
What about the Comforter?
The Holy Spirit is a comforter. Holy Spirit has the precise comfort that you would need were you to ask. Yeah. What else is the Holy Spirit?
Holy Spirit knows everything.
Okay.
And to the end of time.
Yes.
From the beginning to the end.
Yes.
Of time.
Uh-huh.
Knows everything about what everything.
Yes. What about everything does the Holy Spirit know that's most interesting to this book?
The direction.
Trust.
I mean, one thing is just knowing everything, having the file.
Everything about you?
The whole filing cabinet, you know, everything. Okay, uh-huh, yeah, yeah. But what is interesting, Bridget, about what the Holy Spirit knows? What does the Holy Spirit know about everything that you can answer?
I think it knows the way for each one of us to find out who we really are.
Mm-hmm.
What is the Holy Spirit? What's an interesting piece of information that the middleman would know that maybe you couldn't get from somebody who's really involved in the world and only knows the world?
Perspective.
Yes.
Mm.
A perspective comes with the middleman. Why is it the middleman? Well, the middleman means that it's not fully invested.
Oh, he can convert like from the world to the spiritual.
Yes. Yes.
From the physical to the spirit.
Yeah, Holy Spirit can do that.
Mm.
Translate.
Right? Right? How can the Holy Spirit translate? What's the power? What's the superpower of a translator?
Knows both sides.
Knows both sides.
Hmm.
Is the superpower of a translator. You only know one side.
It's a mediator, then.
It's a mediator. The middleman.
Yeah.
In this book, that superpower, the Holy Spirit, what it knows about everything, and it knows everything, knows, as the book says, so comforting, because it knows you. Uniqueness that you thought was private and secret. I know that too. What does Bridget, what does the Holy Spirit know about that uniqueness and privateness? And you can answer who now, because you know.
I heard Julie whisper the answer, so I'm going to be quiet.
Is there one answer?
Yeah, well, there's one in the book. If you happen to read and you love this page as much as I did, the Course says that the Holy Spirit knows everything and knows that it's untrue. Yeah. It knows everything and knows that it's untrue.
And what page is that?
Yeah, it's in a few places in the book.
Okay.
And it knows that you are true, but everything is not true.
Yeah.
All these separate individual things with names, the lesson talks about names, you remember? They're all actually untrue. They're real enough because you managed to name it. So, they're unique. But there's plenty of language.
You mean names of things?
Yeah, that's a post, right? Yeah. Toyota. Purcell. Very particular.
Didn't we just read about that not too long ago?
Probably.
So what's true and what's not
true. Say it again?
So what's true and what's not true.
Yeah. It's the superpower of a translator. Or a bridge. The reason why the bridge is so valuable is because it's connected simultaneously to both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And you can come from your side only having your side.
But it's only pointing in one direction.
And trust it to take you from your side to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful thing about a bridge.
Mm.
Quick, short, and straight.
Mm.
Straight.
There's only one way, right?
Efficient. No, yes, but you can deny the bridge and turn back and go back to your side.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people do. Especially in Course in Miracles is no exception. Watch it about year 4 and 5. You'll start to turn back.
4 and 5?
4 and 5 years.
At 4 and 5 years.
Yeah, it's very common. Course in Miracles.
But I don't think it's the same bridge for everybody. I think we're unique. We tell our own bridge we're getting there, and the Holy Spirit knows what that is.
That's your Holy Spirit's job.
Yeah.
Is to translate whatever's in front of you into the next step on the bridge.
And everybody has a next step that's different.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Why do you think 4 and 5 years, what happens then?
You know, I just seems to be human nature or something.
Already there.
And then, you know, people want, they want to see, the demand progress. More progress, more progress.
Oh, yeah.
The ego's got an opinion on what it looks like. And about year 4 or 5, you stop and say, well, I think it's about high time I'm enlightened.
Yeah.
I tried walking in my swimming pool, and I went in. Yeah. So
about a year and a couple months.
What happened? You're on the fast course.
You know, I've kind of recognized that you have to take what you get.
Because there's no way. There's no one way.
Well, I think if you're expecting, like, enlightenment,
yes,
with the capital E,
yes,
you could really be disappointed if you don't get it, because you have a concept of what that is, for one thing.
Yes.
And it shows up in various ways.
Yes.
Like just being, you know, kinder to people is a big change for a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
You know, and if that happens, then it's worth it.
The minute you have enlightenment defined,
mm-hmm,
is the first opportunity you have to actually totally existentially fail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Taoism 101.
Right?
It cannot be defined.
No.
Right? Before you have enlightenment defined, it's infinite. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Mm. And you can't go wrong. Because maybe this is included too, right, Cecily? But the minute there's a wrong way and a right way, you now have a place to fail forever. That's the opposite of what we just read. Right?
But also people have an image of what they think enlightenment is.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And then if they don't...
The ego's very hungry.
Yeah.
For
the
yeah.
ego has lots of ideas.
Very, very, very common. And that's often why...
A lot of schemes.
It's so important not to get ahead of yourself. And to think you got it. Or to try to teach other people what A Course in Miracles is in your first year.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
You want to go first, Julie? Go for it.
It's okay.
No, because mine's going to go a little off.
No, I think yours would be better.
Okay, well, the Holy Spirit has spoken, and we want to hear Julie's. Cecily is a rabble rouser.
Well, it's so I just want to say to that point that it is a journey without distance. I know that, like, 1 month into this or whatever, I pulled you aside and I'm like, you've been studying for this for 20 years. Is it really worth it? And I couldn't imagine getting through 365 of these. And at some point, it's not about, it just has nothing to do with these pages or getting somewhere. You just move through. You just be. And so it isn't, there is no time to it. There is nothing. You're not getting enlightenment. You just take it in. And it's beautiful. But it's not about arriving somewhere.
Yeah. At the very least, it's an interesting book.
At the very least, it's well written. No, it's really well written. At the very least.
You know, it was a huge relief for me when I realized I wasn't responsible for enlightening myself.
That's big news.
It was such a relief because I thought, I have no idea how I'm ever going to know how to do that.
Of Course in Miracles says on page 298, paragraph 7, we're not going there, I'll just tell you what it says. Luann says it's a relief that she's not enlightening herself. Well, the Course would actually say, this is a quote, you cannot be your guide to miracles, comma, for it's you who made them necessary. We found the problem. And it's you. So you better be ready to give up you. What's page 68, what?
I'm ready.
You're ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
Page 68.
We hit this last week, and I realized we should probably hit this a lot more often than last week because it's right at the beginning. Page 68. What is it you're supposed to do? What's your job? What's your function? What are you supposed to do with this Course in Miracles, with the spiritual awakening? I said spiritual awakening. What are you supposed to do? Paragraph 6, sentence 2. Mario, what does that say?
Your mission is very simple.
And then the next one. No, very good. Perfect.
And then, keep reading. And then,
it's beautiful. This is sentence 2 on paragraph 6. Your mission is very simple. Period. Very few words. Very direct. They're in English. I understand what it means about my mission, and I understand about simple. Here comes A Course in Miracles. Here comes a prediction of what you're about to do with the next 1,000 pages, and for me, 27 years of my life. Mario, next sentence.
You are asked to live so as to demonstrate that you are not an ego.
And that's good enough right there, because that's the instruction. Yeah. That's very simple, isn't it?
It is very simple. And there are only two voices and two choices.
Amen, sister. I love what you said. You're asked to demonstrate to live. Hey, you still get to live. You count. You matter. However, if you've come this far, you do have a mission. You do have something to accomplish. Any way you want. Any way you want. But you're going to find the love that you've always been said you're searching for. You will find the connection to eternity that you knew existed somewhere when you live as though you're not an ego.
So, I totally understand, like Zoe said, there's two voices, two choices. There's love and there's fear. And, like, from a practical day-to-day standpoint, my question is, there's some people in all of our lives that are easy to love and that are lovable, and it feels good to think about them, it feels good to love them, to be kind to them. And then there's other people who it's hard to feel that way about. And it's kind of like you can't force yourself to feel love towards someone.
Yes.
So what do you do?
Yes. Very important. It is a call to one who would say they are loving, who would say they are infinite, who would say they're not even the body and they want to reach true love that's infinite. You start to feel guilty because you run against these brick walls. This is a time when you will continue to fail to find love in a loveless place. Which is another quote on page, this is more for me than you guys now because I've been here so long. Is it 97? We'll go there in a minute if it's necessary. What do you do in a moment like that when you find yourself unable to love or difficult to love when you know you should be able now with a proper middleman and the voice or God? I should be able to love everything equally. There's a sentence in the book. It's very short. And it gives you guidance specifically on this. When you get there, if you haven't been there already, it's a great time to meditate your way right through this veil. And it meets you right where you are, and it says, your brother is right. And you go, harumph, don't you? Not this brother. It's just too hard to get along with his show, man. Comma. But his ego is always wrong. Now you're on my side. Thank you, Jesus. And the little man has spoken, hasn't he? Both sides.
Absolutely.
Both sides. Yeah. Not abandoning you to figure it out and somehow make some leap of faith. No. He's got you covered. His superpower is he sees both sides.
And can communicate them.
Hey. Yes. Can communicate them.
Doesn't it say your brother is always right? But his ego is always right.
Didn't I say that? Yeah. Your brother is always right. Yes. I hope I said that.
Communicate.
Your brother is always right. But his ego is always wrong. Yes. Those are the exact words. Yes, Mark.
Yeah, also there's this one lesson where it asks, the instructions are to let go, you know, while your eyes closed, to let go of all your thoughts about a person.
Yes.
That you're having trouble with.
Yes.
And imagine them differently.
What is differently? How about what's right about him? Yeah. It's always right. Yeah. That would be different. Because right now, all I can see is everything that's wrong.
Yeah.
But to close your eyes on the world and open your mind, what about your brother, this SOB, the one in chapter 31 is called the assholy one. I combined the words a little bit.
Oh,
they edited it out a little bit, you know, before they published, they edited that out. I'm pretty sure. I think they edited that out.
I don't like SOB because I don't like the B part.
What about the assholy brother?
Okay, like that.
Is always right. You know it. You know in your heart of hearts. That's why you ask the question.
Mm.
There must be something behind it all that I could love. But man, there's a lot I can't. Your brother's ego is always wrong. Of course, says the mediator, says the middleman, says the superpower voice for God, which knows everything, including the ugliness that your brother has done and how you would never do that. How could that even be that way? Knows that too. But also knows what's always right. So you drop into meditation, close the body's eyes, close the body's eyes, and use your spiritual sight. Vision, we call it.
Oh, gosh.
So we did a meditation like that with finding the similarities.
Yeah.
Which was really nice.
Yes.
That's how to kind of bridge that.
Yes. We did. Beautiful. You bet. It's so moving when you do that. And it's also, oh, I can't believe we're out of time.
I can't believe it either.
Because that's such a great tip. 595.
Yeah, that's kind of neat. We got to that level of spiritual popcorn, because when you're watching the other angle of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
A minister one time said, when he was trying to explain what love was, he said, what do you know about the person who's on the other end? This is back in the day when we didn't have phones that took messages. What do you know about the person who's on the other end of the line before you answer the phone?
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. Nice. Huh? Isn't that it?
That's it.
Yeah. Okay, let's kind of take just a couple of minutes to burn through this paragraph. A couple of things I want you to see in comparison with all the setup we've had with going to the source and the factory and that Toyota out there. So, sentence 3, its firm foundation is eternally upheld by truth. Your spirit with your source is upheld by the truth that's from where you came. I love that. And guess what? Love shines on your relationship with your source with a gentle smile and a tender blessing that, of course, your source would offer to its own. Which you're so certain of the minute you recognize what it means to even have a source. Here, the unholy instant of you being so alone, that's exchanged in gladness for the Holy One of safe return. Safe return means you allow your mind to be connected to the source as it is one mind. You are an extension of the source. You were never alone. You only exist because you couldn't be alone. Cause and effect are not separated. The fact that you are is the truth that God is. Seek no further than your own mind. For the oneness you manifest with your very question of where is God? Yeah, you can't ever be alone. Or here is the way to true relationships held gently open. In this recognition of how you, cause and effect, are not separated. In this recognition that cause and effect are not separated, you think that you could have been alone and separate and abandoned even. And yet, when you came, in your mind, came back to the source, even for a moment, did you hear how much connection there was? How much support? How much love? The source has more love for you than you knew was possible. Every hair on your head, carefully guarded. Precious. True relationship comes from recognizing that the union part already exists. It's not something that you achieve. It's something you recognize as there. Same with spirit. Yes?
Re-know.
Re-know is recognize. Recognize. Re-know. Mm. That's right. This is what it means to recognize what spirit is. Many great meditations we've had here are recognizing spirit versus the material. Material is perceived. Spirit is known. Is lived. Is infinite.
Yeah, that's the point.
And is invisible. Okay. So here's the way true relationships help. Gently open, through which you and your brother walk together, leaving the body thankfully behind. Okay, that means we're no longer talking about dealing with it in the world, right? Mm-hmm. We're leaving the body behind. The part of your brother that is always wrong is the one that builds, that's ego builds the body. We're going to leave that behind. Now we can actually join in what is the same. Rather than trying to join years and years of effort, what is obviously different. Love's arms are open to receive you and give you peace forever.
Wow.
And love is capitalized.
438.
That's page 438. That was paragraph 10.
Last sentence.
We're moving to paragraph 11.
We made it through a whole paragraph.
Wow! Didn't we?
Actually, he's been doing two or three paragraphs on a couple of nights lately.
Hey, that's right.
That's pretty damn exciting.
That's out of circle.
Just a quick plug for lesson 30, which is today's lesson. If any or all of you are doing a lesson a day out of the workbook, today's is God is in everything I see because God is in my mind.
Yeah.
And the first sentence says, the idea for today is the springboard for vision. And if you read this, like when you get home, and tie it into what we did tonight, it'll blow your mind.
Yeah, maybe, Jay.
Yeah.
Which number was that?
Number 30, because it's one day for each day of the year. So today's the 30th of January.
Okay.
The exercise is exercise 30.
You bet.
20.
All right, take a deep breath. So here you stand, an extension of your source still. And you will continue as an extension of your source, whether you want to or not, right?
Yeah.
You could change that hood ornament out there on that Toyota, but it's still a Toyota. They know everything about it. They know everything about that car, period. It always will. Everything about you is known. And it's not a mistake.
And it feels so good to know that everything about me is known.
It's all known. And you have a place. You were intentionally set out to drive, baby.
That's beautiful.
Drive. Thank
you. What'd you say? Like your life depends on it.
Like your life depends on it. And guess what? It does. It does depend on it. That's your life. Is to go out. They didn't build you to sit in the factory in the parking lot and hey, no, drive. And you are. And you can't do it wrong. That's what we heard tonight, all these loving statements. You can't do it wrong. So precious are you. But that would take you to recognize the holy relationship you have with your source. You know, holy, it comes root of W-H-O-L, holy. It's the recognition of the oneness that always was, and you can't stop that, because it's one. Yes. So, drive.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, that was beautiful.
Yes.
Okay, I gotta get going.
All right, thanks, Mario.
Okay, that was all good. No, nice to see you.
Good to see you again, Mario.